You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, hello, everybody. It's great to be back. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the very powerful, very loud, and often very obnoxious homosexual activist movement. You can't turn on the news these days or read a newspaper without Basically, seeing the homosexuality celebrated by liberals in our culture, and Americans for Truth is on the other side of that issue. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. That's AmericansForTruth.org. You can send us an email at AmericansForTruth@Comcast.net. That's AmericansForTruth@Comcast.net, or give us a call at 630-717-7631. That's 630-717-7631. Now, you probably had planned on hearing part two of our fascinating interview with Bob Knight, who is a friend of mine and one of the leading culture warriors in this field. But unfortunately, there was a scheduling miscue, and so we will have Bob Knight next week, part two of that interview, and instead we're going to be interviewing another hero in the culture war, my good friend Mike Heath. I've gotten to know Mike over the years. He is the chairman of the board of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. For a long time, he was the president of the Christian Civic League of Maine and just did phenomenal work. He beat back two gay rights initiatives in that state. And Mike is a Christian man. He is a wonderful writer and a committed guy. Mike, welcome to the Americans for Truth Hour.
Well, Pete, thank you, and you're very kind, but you actually define the term heroism for the rest of us.
Well, I don't know about that, Mike, but we're going to talk about your work. Mike, you're a pinch hitter today, so I had planned on having you do interviews on your own, because you certainly deserve it. But first, why don't you give us a little background? You're married. You have how many children?
Polly and I have three sons, and I'll put in a plug right at the start of the program for Polly. That's spelled P-A-U-L-I-E, Polly Heath, H-E-A-T-H.com, PollyHeath.com. But if folks want to spell it the traditional way, that'll also take them to her website, Polly, P-O-L-L-Y, PollyHeath.com. She's recorded six inspirational CDs and has written over 30 original Christian songs.
It's wonderful. I've heard Polly sing. It's beautiful music, and we would encourage churches to bring her in. It'll be a wonderful, uplifting evening. And she's also a culture warrior like you, Mike, right?
Oh.
she's committed.
She's absolutely committed to this fight, Peter, and she adores you.
Well, I know she adores you more, which is appropriate. How long have you been married? I have my own wife adoring me as well. How long have you been married, Mike?
We've been married for 27 years. Oh boy.
27 yeah. years. Praise God. That is awesome. And Mike, that's the kind of example that young people need in our society. Before I start talking about your pro-family achievements, tell me about your sons. Do they all serve in the military?
Two of them are Marines. The oldest one wanted to be a Marine, but asthma ended up sending him in a different direction. So he is a graduate of Grove City College, and he now works in directly defending the United States of America for DARPA. I don't know what DARPA stands for, but it really is. They really did invent the Internet, unlike Al Gore.
Right.
DARPA is the defense. They're in the high-tech area of defense. So he's in Washington, D.C. The youngest two are both sergeants in the United States Marine Corps, the oldest having done his four for the Corps and now studying engineering and electrical and computer engineering along with a minor in math at the University of Maine at Orono. And the youngest, we just found out this 2 days ago, is being deployed to Helsinki, Finland to guard the United States Embassy there. So we're really proud of our sons and honored that they have been given the opportunity to defend this great country.
Yeah, it is a great country, and thank you for your son's service, Mike. You sent me a plaque with a beautiful photo of your son standing on guard. I don't know where that was, but I have it in my den, and it's just a wonderful. That should be mass produced. What does it say again?
I wish I had it right in front of me, but I think it's a quote by Thomas Paine or somebody famous. But I snapped that picture. I was in the front of the church. There were 1,000 people there. It was in Florida, and Jared was bringing in the colors. My youngest son was bringing in the colors in his dress blues, and the picture came out really neat because he's in focus and everything behind him is a blur.
Right.
And that was entirely a mistake. I mean, I was busy running the sound system for my wife, who was up front preparing to sing, and I saw it and I snapped it, and it came out really, really good. And Polly helped raise $10,000 for Operation Shoebox that night in Florida.
Wow.
And that what they do is send shoeboxes that have material, candy, all kinds of stuff that guys who are deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan would appreciate receiving, and as a symbol of support. And the folks there in the villages down in Florida get together every week and assemble these shoeboxes, thousands of these shoeboxes, and they make sure all the troops who are deployed get them.
Well, Mike, you know, your one son couldn't get in the military because of asthma. Maybe if he came out as a homosexual, he might get some special treatment and get accepted under Obama.
Right. I'm sure that the fact that someone is homosexual would trump asthma.
Definitely. I mean, we saw the spectacle of this Lieutenant Choi chaining himself to the White House. He'd already done it. Now, this is a guy who's protesting his own commander-in-chief, Mike. I can't remember exactly. It's a guard unit he's in. As I said, this is a substitute show, so I don't have the information in front of me, but he had already protested his commander-in-chief, Barack Obama, by chaining himself to the White House fence. He goes back to his unit. He gets a counseling session or something. He's back protesting again. Can you believe the farce that our military is becoming under President Obama?
It's beyond sad. It could become tragic. And for some, it has already become tragic. A friend of mine here in Maine, John Bernard, is 26 years in the Marine Corps, and he is retired. His son Josh went to Afghanistan 6 weeks before Josh's dad, John, wrote a letter to McChrystal, General McChrystal, making some points of concern and observations about the rules of engagement in Afghanistan, which for political reasons provide more protections to the people of Afghanistan than to our great American warriors. 6 weeks after he wrote that letter, his son Josh was brutally killed, and an Associated Press reporter was embedded and snapped stills and video of the horror. This young boy's Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps was killed because an RPG blew off the bottom part of his legs, and the Associated Press ran the photos in all their horror in order to boost their ratings and perhaps make a political point against the war. And John is speaking out to his credit, and of course his wife was crushed, Sharon. So, you know, it goes beyond the homosexuality is always just a symptom, Peter, as you know. You know, it's just, if we're going to embrace that, we're going to be willing to go in a number of different directions that are going to erode the strength of our nation.
Right, and you know, the idea that homosexuals would get special treatment to be allowed in the military, despite the existence of a law that bans homosexuals in the military. Now, then there was the compromise, the don't ask, don't tell compromise, but it appears that Barack Obama is determined to undermine even that, and it's almost as if he is imposing policy by dictate, Mike. You know, there's a law in the books, and it's being directly undermined by the Obama administration.
Well, I'll give him credit for this. Barack Obama understands what it means to have power and to use that power in an executive capacity. And he knows what it means to have the wind to his back politically and to get everything he can possibly get and then some.
Right.
And so we all, in some ways, I feel like the folks who are concerned about the direction of this country should learn a lesson from that, because it seems like when power falls to folks like with Contract with America years ago, we watched the Republicans get into power, and immediately they're bragging about compromising with the other side.
Right.
And this guy he's too smart for that. I don't know.
He's playing hardball, and he's made a lot of promises to the homosexual activists, Mike. And we have a 50 seconds to the break, so we'll wait to get into your background on that issue. But I think you're right. I think Barack Obama is gambling. He's going to get as much as he can. Who knows? Maybe enough of the American public will be fooled, and he'll win a new term. But next in 2012. But it just is amazing to me to behold how he is just imposing policy despite the law. And we have much to discuss. We're talking with Mike Heath, who's a friend of mine. Mike is a former president of the Christian Civic League of Maine. He's a longtime pro-family activist. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute after the break. Listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a conservative Christian group on the other side of the homosexual issue. If you are an American listening to this show, you are likely bombarded by many, many pro-homosexual messages in our culture, whether it's in academia, whether it's TV, print media. Just everywhere you turn these days, there is the gay movement. This is the gay moment in America where homosexuality is being celebrated by a large portion of our culture. And unfortunately, many people are going along for the ride. And, you know, we know as Christians that homosexual behavior is always wrong. There's no such thing as a natural gay identity. It's about behavior that's changeable. It's destructive. It's unnatural. And it's against the Word of God. There is no way, Mike, I think you'll agree, I'm talking to Mike Heath, chairman of the board of, or former chairman of Christian Civic League of Maine, and now with the American Family Association of New England. Mike, tell us, is there any way you can accommodate homosexuality with the Word of God, the embrace of homosexuality as somehow consistent with the Word of God?
No, not only is it inconsistent with the Word of God, but it's inconsistent with biology and common sense. You said that we represent the other side of the homosexual issue, and I prefer to think of us as representing the only side on the issue of homosexuality. And really, even folks who are caught up in the lie and the deception, they know that deep down in their hearts. They know that there's only one position on homosexuality, and it's the one that we take.
Right. In other words, there's an illegitimate position. We're dealing with what is essentially a sin movement, and it is an illegitimate movement. And what happens when you try to take an illegitimate movement and cloak it with the sort of nobility of civil rights, Mike?
Well, we can see what we get. You know, we get raw, raunchy public discussions about little boys being raised as girls and using the bathrooms that are designed and equipped for the opposite gender.
Give us some background on that. You're talking about a situation in Maine that is the byproduct of the state's sexual orientation law, which you fought when you were with the Christian Civic League for 20 years, Mike. So let's back up a little bit. There is a sexual orientation law in Maine. What does that law do? And tell us how you tried to stop it.
Well, back in the 80s, when I after I committed my life to Christ fully, I felt his call to enter into the public policy arena, quickly concluded that the issue where the most danger lurked for families and for the society in general was the whole matter of sexuality and morality, and abortion and homosexuality are the headline-grabbing issues that get debated the most in relationship to our society's transformation on sexuality and morality in particular. So I very easily devoted myself in the late 1980s, early 1990s to addressing this issue, as you know, because in the early 90s you were working for Bob Knight, who I'm only too honored to pinch hit for today.
Again, we were planning on having part two of the Bob Knight interview, and that will happen next week. So we're talking with Mike Heath, former executive director of the Christian Civic League of Maine and now the president of American Family Association of New England.
And so I met Bob in the early 90s over the telephone. He actually called to kind of yank the Christian Civic League of Maine back onto the straight and narrow. We were doing some stuff, making some public statements and going in a direction on abortion that concerned Bob. And long story short, I ended up heading the Civic League for 15 years. I was there for over 20 years total, including all the positions I held. And we devoted ourselves to addressing the matter of homosexuality because we, the board, and I reasoned that we had Maine Right to Life, which was handling abortion. But the more overarching matter was in the area of politics and culture, the question of family formation and sexuality and morality was of profound importance in comparison to lowering taxes or debating the economy or really anything else that we as Christians could bring to the public in terms of being helpful. So we devoted ourselves to debating and addressing and fighting the agenda of homosexual activists, and we achieved a couple stunning victories, as you know, in 1998 and then again in 2001. But they wore us down, Peter, and in 2005 we lost by a whisker, and they passed a law which includes the phrase gender identity and expression as a definer or as part of the definition of the phrase sexual orientation. I reject all those words, sexual orientation, gender identity, expression.
Gender identity applies to the so-called transgenders. These are people who believe they should have the body of – they feel that they fit the body of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, Mike, I want to hear again – you passed over it quickly. You beat back – you led a coalition effort that beat back homosexual activist sexual orientation law in both 1998 and 2001. You did that through grassroots. Is it a people's veto of when a law is passed, the citizens of Maine get to vote on that law?
Here's one of the interesting things that the Christian Civic League of Maine concluded in the early 90s. We concluded then, now at that time the organization was 90 years old and had about four decades of pretty active service in the legislature, and we concluded that the politicians, we were not going to be able to change the legislature. We did not have the power in Maine, which is moving liberal, to change the legislature. But we reasoned that that the public would be with us, and so we decided to use the referendum, and that worked for us up until 2005. So we slowed things down, at least in the public's mind, we slowed things down by using the referendum from about 1992 until 2005, when they finally were able to defeat us. Of course, here's the sad part of the tale, Peter. The whole time that we were creating the impression by use of the referendum that we were slowing down the progress of the homosexual agenda, they were actually passing their agenda using different names like domestic partnership benefits in the legislature. So this is a really insidious and evil movement.
Yeah, and it's incrementalist. They make progress a little bit at a time. They have a long-term vision. Our people are often not thinking long-term. But it is important to note that you are the only person and organization to defeat, I believe, twice a homosexual special rights, as we used to call it, initiative. And I believe you probably could have won in 2005 had and you had a little funding, or you were vastly outspent in each of these campaigns, correct?
And I really want to give credit where credit is due. I did not do this. I led, yes, I'm proud to lead, and everything needs a leader. But Paul Madore, Paul and Susan Madore, Paul and Caroline Volley were also leaders right with me throughout this. Christian Coalition, Paul Madore, a Roman Catholic father, very faithful, very courageous. Without these men, those victories would not have been achieved. And without the sacrificial effort of literally thousands of volunteers.
And it was sad when they finally got that law that they wanted. And then, of course, that led to the current campaign where they're trying to enact homosexual so-called marriage in the state, which, of course, they initially declined that was the end goal. But everybody knows that homosexual so-called marriage is always the end goal of the homosexual activist movement. And even beyond that, there's a threat of shutting down opposition. Now, catch us up to date, Mike. You've got this bill which says you cannot discriminate based on sexual orientation or so-called gender identity. Now, what's happening as a result of that transgender provision that you're fighting right now?
Well, almost immediately, Peter, a family in the town of Orono, which is a university town, saw the benefits of this law. The parents had decided from birth, apparently, to raise a little boy as a girl. And this boy was starting to track through the public schools. And in the elementary school, the parents decided to assert their new right under the definition of sexual orientation, which includes gender identity and expression, to force the school to allow their little boy to use the little girl's restroom in the elementary school. This became statewide, then national and international news, and all of this forced the Maine Human Rights Commission to begin creating guidelines to try to settle down the public unrest over this. The most recent
What's wrong with the boy using the girl's restroom, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and so
what's wrong with that? God help us, Mike. I mean, it's just amazing that we've come to this point.
So now the Maine Human Rights Commission is trying to tamp down the anger and the concerns that are being expressed by the Maine School Management Association, for example, about this. And they canceled a public hearing that was scheduled for May. They have postponed consideration or enactment of their guidelines. And what they're saying is, and this scares me to death, Peter, what they're saying is they want to wait for more cases to develop, which means they want to wait for more little boys to be raised as girls. Now, imagine, how can you even get your mind around this, adults, taking a boy born biologically a boy? Yeah, I mean, we're talking long before the boy starts to show any inclination towards effeminacy or anything.
Yeah, we got 20 seconds, Mike. You know, yeah, it's absolutely astounding what liberals will try to create for our society, what they'll try to enable in the name of rights. We're talking to Mike Heath, pro-family warrior in Maine. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour, americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarber, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue group that stands for marriage between a man and a woman. We oppose the efforts of the homosexual activist movement to normalize homosexuality and even create newfangled civil rights based on homosexual behavior. Of course, there's a big difference between real civil rights, say the Black civil rights movement, and gay civil rights. I've never met an ex-Black or an ex-Hispanic, and I've interviewed and met many, many former homosexuals. We're talking to Mike Heath, who is the president of American Family Association of New England. We were supposed to be talking with Bob Knight of Coral Ridge Ministries. That was part two of the interview, which will be now postponed until next week. And the pinch hitter, and he's a very able pinch hitter, is my friend Mike Heath. Mike, you were talking about the gender identity law that you're fighting. What are you planning to do to prevent little boys from being able to use little girls' restrooms at public schools in Maine?
Well, Pete, we're going to continue to, of course, educate the public about what's going on here, and that seems to be the best weapon we have right now is the truth, as you know, and so we're going to work hard to get that truth out to as many people as we can and to urge them to be in touch with the Maine Human Rights Commission. But ultimately what we have to do, Peter, is we have to get sexual orientation out of the law here in Maine. That's going to be the only thing that will end this. So I will be working to make that happen.
Now, Mike, you're absolutely right. Sexual orientation laws are incompatible with common sense and with the freedom to disagree with homosexuality. Talk a moment about that, Mike, that zero-sum game as Barack Obama's appointee to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, Kai Feldblum. She says there's a zero-sum game between religious freedom to oppose homosexuality and gay rights laws. Talk about that for just a minute.
Well, we're already seeing it in Maine since the early 1990s. Actually, we've been seeing it for a long time. Government is now institutionally on the side of homosexuality against Orthodox Christianity. In Maine, for years now, we've had civil rights teams, that's what they call them. They go into the schools, and they have also linked up now with this idea of bullying and ending bullying. And, of course, because sexual orientation is included in both our Civil Rights Act and our Human Rights Act now, the Attorney General's Office, which is the group running these civil rights teams, is duty-bound by law to educate about sexual orientation. So,
when we say educate about, of course, they give one side, they give the pro-homosexual side at the expense of the truth side, which is defending tradition and sex between marriage between a man and a woman.
I met with the Attorney General on this matter about a few years ago, and he said to me, "Look, Mike, including sexual orientation in the Human Rights Act or the Civil Rights Act has nothing to do with morality." And I responded to him and I said, Steve Rose was, I think he may still be the Attorney General. I said, look, you got a Christian and you've got a person who supports homosexuality. The Christian is duty bound by his belief in the scriptures to tell the homosexual that he's going to hell and that homosexuality is immoral and evil. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, they've lectured us for years, don't impose your morality on us, but they're quite willing to impose their immorality on America using the government if they have to. Now, Mike, give us the background. This is a fascinating part of your story. You were with the Christian Civic League for 20 years. You were the only pro-family leader in America to lead a coalition that beat back two statewide pro-homosexual laws in Maine. Things sort of started falling apart with the passage of gay rights in 2005 in Maine, and it quickly proceeded to domestic partners and then a campaign for marriage. Now, they passed a law legalizing so-called same-sex marriage, and then an effort arose to repeal that law using the same law, the people's veto, that you used to defeat the sexual orientation law, correct?
That's right.
And when did that happen?
That was last year.
Last year.
Legislature passed and the governor signed homosexual marriage.
Now here's the part that I find most interesting. The effort to beat that back, some Catholic groups and pro-family groups, evangelicals, started getting together to repeal the gay marriage law, and it quickly became apparent that Mike Heath, the guy who helped defeat homosexual activist legislation in previous years, was not really welcome as part of this pro-marriage coalition. Tell us the story.
Well, they worked relentlessly over a period of months to silence me. That would be our side. That would be the pro-family folks. And ultimately, in the fall of last year, I resigned because I couldn't stay around as the campaign to defend marriage actually proceeded to the point where publicly, before the vote, they ran a television ad that said they supported gay rights and that indeed perhaps more legal protections on the basis of sexual orientation are in order. Now, I'm glad that I was not around to be tied to that. I had resigned a month or a month and a half before that. And another thing that offended me was my instinct that you coming into Maine to talk about what you've learned over the last 20 years about this movement was so fiercely resisted by these same folks.
Yeah, but let's back up, Mike, because I think our listeners need to really focus on this. What we're saying here is that the traditional pro-family groups, in the name of defending marriage, have decided that, well, maybe certain voices that are against homosexuality or more principled voices are damaging, as it were, to the pro-marriage movement because, what, they're too principled, too radical? Explain that whole phenomenon.
Well, it's based on raw politics, Pete. It's the polling shows that the mushy middle, the couch potatoes who would end up voting in a general election like we had in November, may vote in favor of defending marriage, but they're not going to want to identify with any group or force or individual or leader who is in any way judgmental toward homosexuals or homosexuality. And so the politics are forcing the Christian groups, Catholic and Protestant, to create this artificial separation between between going to the public and saying homosexuality is wrong and going to the public and saying we need to uphold a traditional marriage. And I think there's no doubt in my mind, Pete, that that decision, which has been thoughtfully made based on research, is going to lead to our long-term defeat, even on the issue of marriage. We've already lost on gay rights. I mean, they've conceded that we've lost on gay rights, and they show absolutely no will power to reverse that or to fix the problems related to that. In fact, they're now showing the opposite. They're showing the willpower to support gay rights.
Yeah, there's a creeping movement within the pro-family umbrella, as it were, of basically saying, okay, we're not against gay rights. Now, this is, of course, a complete reversal from past positions. And then there's a wink-wink, inside the pro-family movement, wink-wink, Mike, yeah, we're still against homosexuality, but we just have to do, this is what we have to do to win. And as you said, the irony is that they end up basically conceding civil unions, domestic partners, which then the courts interpret as, well, if the state supports or the legislature supports civil unions, you're basically giving almost all the same rights and privileges and benefits as marriage, so why don't you just call it marriage? So ironically, this sort of acquiescing strategy of trying to get what the best we can ends up facilitating the gay marriage cause in the short and long run anyway.
It's a political compromise rooted exclusively in politics and completely divorced from reason and truth. So in the short term, it'll work. It may work. It did work. It worked in Maine. We won the vote. We protected marriage in November. But it's destined for failure in the long term.
Yeah, now you said, I saw the ad, and the ad in Maine basically sort of said, well, we already have these laws on the books, and I think the average viewer would see it as affirming the laws on the books. There was, and when you start doing that, what you're sending a message, even to people of faith, that pro-homosexual so-called civil rights legislation is acceptable. Now, I use the analogy with the pro-life movement. There's no comparison in the pro-life struggle. You don't see pro-life groups saying, well, you know, it's okay to kill unborn babies maybe up to the sixth month, but after that, it's wrong. Generally, the principled position is what is adhered to among the whole panoply of pro-life groups. But on the homosexual issue, we're seeing a capitulation, even at some of the highest levels within our movement.
Yes, we are. And it's being driven by, unfortunately, theological compromise. Theological, not political. Now, because you have a movement within Protestant evangelicalism, oftentimes identified as emerging, which has the emerging movement, which is self-identifying with the acceptance of sex outside of marriage, and dreaming up theological, biblical, rationales, I suppose, to support it.
And yeah. Well, you have left-wing evangelicals like Jim Wallis who are moving towards the embrace of gay identity, even gay monogamous relationships, and of course. It's a pretty long way in the Bible from calling homosexuality an abomination to embracing gay relationships. That's a big hurdle, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
We're talking with Mike Heath, the president of American Family Association of New England. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org, americansfortruth.org. We'll be back with our final segment with Mike Heath in a minute. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarber, president of Americans for Truth. We are a single-issue group opposed to the homosexual activist movement. We are talking to Mike Heath today. We thought we would be talking to Bob Knight, but there was a scheduling emergency. And so part two of our interview with Bob Knight of the Coral Ridge Ministries will be next week. But pinch hitting is my friend and Americans for Truth chairman of the board, Mike Heath. Mike is the president of AFA of New England, which is a pro-family group. For 20 years, he was the executive director of the Christian Civic League of Maine from 1989 to 2009, and it was a rocky last couple of years there, Mike, but I'm going to try to sum up here. The situation Mike faced was that he was deemed too much of a hot potato to be involved in the coalition marriage struggle to defend marriage, or so they said. Now, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, there were, even as the campaign to protect marriage was compromising sort of by affirming these laws that were already on the book, domestic partner laws or civil rights laws embracing homosexuality, the Catholic bishop, I believe, or a senior official in the Catholic archdiocese, I don't know if that was Portland, Maine, I remember reading in one of their publications where they were sort of making positive soundings about civil unions within the Catholic hierarchy.
Okay.
So even as they were defending against so-called gay marriage, they were almost beginning to concede. Even as the campaign was going on, there were senior officials, and this is not just about the Catholic Church. This was what I'm saying is all throughout the movement, there were these positive soundings that were happening about civil unions. So in the midst of fighting against homosexual so-called marriage, they were essentially creating the groundwork for supporting homosexual relationships through this so-called compromise of civil unions.
During my whole career, Pete, over the last 25 years, the Roman Catholic Chancery in Portland has been on the other side, effectively. They were always trying not to get tagged as being pro-gay rights, but they never stepped up and became a full partner, even though multiple meetings were held and discussions had. And
now, this is huge, Mike, and you were even somebody accused you of being anti-Catholic, which is a joke because your best friend almost, I don't know if he's your best friend, but he's a great friend. Paul Madore is a friend of mine. Paul is a conservative, faithful Catholic, Maine grassroots coalition. He worked hand in hand with you on these initiatives. What we're talking about is the institution, is the hierarchy of the Catholic Church in Maine. Now, is it true that in 2005, the year that you lost the Gay Rights Initiative, they beat back the referendum, that was the Catholic hierarchy on the other side on that vote?
I kind of hesitate to describe it as being on the other side, but Paul Madure, I believe, comes right out and says that they were on the other side supporting gay rights.
But they were definitely not helping the effort to repeal that homosexual activist initiative.
At best, they were neutral, and they were trying to stay on the fence. At worst, they were helping the other side. And what that ended up producing is a 55% result for homosexuality and even gender identity and expression.
And so, tell us what would have happened if the Catholic Church had followed Catholic teaching and just said, absolutely, we're going to attempt, we're part of this effort to repeal this homosexual law.
If the Roman Catholic Church had followed its teachings all the way back to the beginning, we would not have casino gambling in Maine. Now, that's kind of an odd statement to make, but the point is that the debate would have ended in the 1990s because the homosexual movement would not have been able to achieve political success. And so the political debate would have ended, and the Christian Civic League of Maine, which is 100 years old and most used to be most closely identified with representing anti-casino forces and from a moral perspective, would have been able to assert itself, and we wouldn't have we've got a raging debate now. We've got one casino in Maine, and it looks like there's going to be another one fairly soon. So it's had profound effects.
So the homosexual law, which is now becoming the foundation for the attempt to pass gay marriage in Maine, would have probably gone down to defeat had the Catholic hierarchy joined you in trying to beat that back.
Not probably. I can prove it. Lewiston, Maine, is Paul Madure's hometown. They debated gay rights in the early 1990s. And Paul Madure stood up as a faithful Roman Catholic man and was publicly identified with the fight against gay rights. Lewiston, Maine turned in a 67% rejection of gay rights. And I guarantee you that had the Roman Catholic Church at the state level, see, Paul was a leader at the local level, so he was able to speak with credibility as a Roman Catholic in his hometown of Lewiston. If the bishop, who would be the counterpart, politically speaking, at the state level, had stepped up in the 90s and stayed with us, we would have buried gay rights every time it came up.
And that's the travesty of this whole situation, and I don't intend only to focus here on the Catholic hierarchy, because what happened in the marriage struggle was Mike, essentially you were ostracized as a leader. I think it was the decision was made that this was a professional operation defending marriage, and we can't appear too anti-gay. We've seen this all across the country, and Mike Heath was the too much of a lightning rod, too anti-gay, and the long and short of it is this leader who had a record in Maine, fighting the good fight, you know, not being a coward. You stood up, you took the flak. Your wife even took the flak. You were essentially pushed aside in the name of defending marriage. And I think that the irony is that the compromises that ensued in that whole campaign could lay the basis for the courts in Maine or even political forces passing gay marriage. You know, in other words, when we try to cut corners on principle, we think we're winning this great victory, but ultimately it ends up going to our detriment and probably leading to the victory that we're for the gay marriage. That is the whole justification for the compromises.
This whole debate gets to go away if the public simply starts holding their pastors and their bishops and their priests accountable. It just goes away almost overnight.
We got 2 minutes, Mike. I mean, tell me what you learned from that whole struggle and how you're applying it now. I mean, I know you're never going to compromise on principle.
Well, I'm scrapping and clawing and scratching my way back into the fight, as you know. And the American Family Association was only too pleased to allow me to identify with their honorable name. And so now I'm going to be organizing not just in Maine, but throughout New England. And this issue is my top priority. So I'm going to keep speaking out because I have to. The only option for me is to throw the Bible away.
Right.
And I'm not
yeah,
going to do that.
That's the crux of it. When it comes right down to it, we are Christians. We agree with God about homosexuality. And political correctness says, no, you know, sort of leave that behind. Don't talk about that, even the pastors. But how can we not, how can we deny the word of God in the name of politics?
Well, and when we do it, we deny not just the word of God or the Bible, but we deny an essential quality of Christianity, broadly defined, Catholic and Protestant.
Yes.
We in fact deny an essential quality.
Mike, we're going to have to cut it right there because we're going to be ending soon. We're talking with Mike Heath. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with Robert Knight. Mike Heath. Mike, what is your website?
AFAofMaine.net.
AFAofMaine.net. You can reach Mike Heath there. You can also reach him through Americans for Truth. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. It's been a privilege to have you, Mike, and God bless you and your efforts as you go forward. Listen, next week we'll have the second part of our interview with Bob Knight. Thank you, Mike.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.